for 4 years. Richmond, Richmond must be held. Richmond is our point. And as the army left Richmond, it had a tremendous effect on the soldiers. Let me quote from an artillerist who described his feelings as the army in Northern Virginia left the city. He wrote, "It was after sunrise of a bright morning when from the high ground west of the city we turned to take our last look at Richmond, for which we had fought so long and so hard. It was a sad, a terrible, and a solemn sight. I don't know that any moment in the whole war impressed me more deeply with all its stern realities than this. The whole riverfront seemed to be in flames, amid which occasional heavy explosions were heard, and the black smoke spreading and hanging over the city seemed to be full of dreadful portents. I rode on with a distinctly heavy heart and with a peculiar sort of feeling of orphanage." Well, Lee and his army moved westward. Lee had about 35,000 men at this point. He hoped to get rations on the road ahead, and he hoped eventually still to join Joseph Johnston. But the better fed and clothed Federals easily kept pace with the Confederates. Philip Sheridan, with infantry and cavalry, paralleled Lee's movements to the south. Sheridan is south of Lee to prevent his turning toward North Carolina. So he's blocking that part of Lee's plan, and the mass of the Army of the Potomac is pushing right against the rear of the retreating Confederates. Hundreds of hungry Confederate soldiers collapsed by the road and were captured. Hundreds more simply threw their weapons away and stumbled on to the west. On the 6th of April, a sharp fight at Sailor's Creek resulted in the capture of 7,000 Southern soldiers, including General Richard Ewell and one of Lee's sons, who was also a general, Custis Lee. They were taken prisoner at Sailor's Creek. Lee watched from a hill overlooking the creek, watched this disaster unfold. He turned to a staff officer and exclaimed, "My God, has this army been dissolved?" 2 days later, on the 8th of April, Sheridan managed to get in front of the remnant of Lee's army and capture rations that were waiting for the Confederate infantry, cavalry, and the horses and mules that were pulling the wagons and guns of the army. There was a final pathetic attempt to break through the Federals that blocked the way west. And on April 9th, Lee realized that further fighting was futile and that he must ask Grant for surrender terms. "I would rather die 1,000 deaths," he said, but he sent the message to Grant. The two met in the parlor of Wilmer McLean's red brick house in Appomattox Courthouse in southwestern Virginia. McLean had begun the war as a property owner near the battlefield at First Manassas. The presence of the armies had virtually ruined him economically then. He decided that he would move to a place so far removed from the action that he could at least live out the war in peace. And now the war has found him again. He's going to once again see armies come and sit on his property and essentially take everything away from it that they want to take. He is a two-time loser, is Wilmer McLean in the war. Lee showed up for this meeting, immaculately dressed, a dress uniform, he had a saber. He expected to be taken prisoner and wanted to look like a soldier. Grant showed up for the meeting in muddy clothing. This has often been construed as a deliberate affront on Grant's part, that he wanted to humiliate Lee by showing up dressed shabbily. That isn't true at all. When Grant learned definitively that there would be a meeting, he wanted to hurry to get to the spot so that Lee didn't have to sit and wait. He believed that would be humiliating for Lee to sit and wait, so Grant hurried to meet Lee. But the two presented quite a contrast, at least in attire. They made some small talk. It must be among the most awkward small talk ever made by anyone anywhere. Talked a little bit about Mexico. Grant remembered Lee from Mexico. Lee had been a fairly well-known figure then. Lee admitted, in his usual forthright way, I guess, that he had tried to remember something about Grant, but hadn't been able to remember a single thing about Grant. They got past that and got down to the terms. Grant allowed very generous terms. He allowed the terms that Abraham Lincoln made known that he would want his generals to offer. Lincoln wanted Reconstruction to get moving. We've talked about that before. He didn't want heavy disabilities for everybody in the Confederacy. He wanted some, but not for everyone. And Grant gave generous terms. All the Southerners would be able to keep their horses. He hadn't known, he told Lee, that Confederate cavalrymen had to buy their own horses so the men could keep their horses. He sent 25,000 rations from his army over to the Confederate Army.